Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
So we said, do you think it's a good idea for the NFL to be doing the draft on the original date, or should they have delayed it? The main thing is the medicals. I mean, they can still FaceTime these guys, they can still interview them, and by now you should have had most of your research done. I mean, you don't have the pro days, but is it perfect for them? No, but should they do it? Yeah, because we don't know when this is going to end, and you want to be as far along as possible if you're going to have a season, plus it gives us something to talk about.
Think about if you lose out on that $56 million that football brings in, you really aren't going to have any other sports. I mean, a place like LSU probably has coffers that are full, so they're okay, but think about the schools, and a lot of these schools, they don't make as much off football as LSU. Think about a program like UH. They're not making $56 million annually off their football program, but their football program is still the breadwinner. And if you don't have that, what happens to all those other sports?
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. Hour number three, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. Or you can get us on Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Tyler Drew Scott. You can text the show. You know the number for that. You missed the first 2 hours. They will all be available, or both will be available, as it were, on podcastarena.com, as will this hour at some point after we're finished today. And however you're listening, whether you're streaming or whether you're on Alexa or whether you're on the radio listening to us, we appreciate you tuning in as we continue to do our best to keep the show going from all over the city. AJ at Hoffman Estates and me here over in East Downtown, and Tyler back in studio. So appreciate all you guys tuning in. And I have to make a correction, because I said Nick Nolte in Point Break and it was Gary Busey.
Gary Busey's the crazy one. You're right.
Yeah, well, they're both crazy. They're both crazy old white guys, which is...
I think Gary Busey's, like, actually insane.
Oh, he is, but Nolte's had a bunch of problems, too, so...
Oh, okay.
I just confused my goofball white guys.
Your white blonde-haired guys?
Yeah. So I like to correct things when I'm wrong, so thank you to the texter who pointed that out. Are you familiar with Paul LaDuca?
Yeah. Former Dodgers catcher, Mets catcher.
Yeah, I'm working on I want to get him on the show at some point, because now he's doing a thing for Barstool Sports where he basically just, well, they're not going to the tracks anymore, but he would just go around to racetracks, and they were at Sam Houston when we were in Vegas, so didn't get to have him on that week. But he's also doing a lot of what we were doing Saturday, tweeting out winners and stuff while there's nothing else to bet on. So want to get him on, but I don't know if you saw that what he said about a guy that I think most people still think is sort of a dickweed, but has somehow rebuilt his image in Alex Rodriguez.
He has kind of found his way back to respectability, hasn't he?
Yeah, and here's what Paul had to say. It says, people know I'm not a fan, and I'm sorry, never will be a fan. I just think he's one of the fakest people out there. The way he gets put on a pedestal now is beyond me. He said... apparently, the relationship with Jennifer Lopez has made people view him as a saint. And even the president reached out to him about coronavirus.
Well, he's an expert on that.
Well, yeah, I mean, come on. But, yeah, he played for the Mets right when Rodriguez was with the Yankees. And he had a – pretty much says, why is this guy being treated like he's something he's not? Which kind of agree with. You know, yeah, it's like when he was criticizing the Astros cheaters, it's like everybody forgets how this guy lied and denied everything and, of course, got caught. So, but he does seem to have rebuilt his image into this, you know, whatever the hell it is.
I mean, it doesn't bother me at all, because I don't care. Like, okay, Alex Rodriguez, he messed up. He owned it. Who cares?
I don't think he owned it. He denied it an awful lot, and before he finally, I think the second time he finally did. He
Fred,
did
do you think any of these guys
apology.
Admitted to it the first time?
No, I mean
no.
But I mean, he also was very he denied the crap out of it. So I'm not going to say he owned up to it.
I mean, even recently he admitted what a cheater he was. I mean, to me, that's he owns it now, whether he owned it in a timely fashion or not. He owns it now. So, I mean, what do people want from the guy? Like, if you don't like him, cool. But who's hating on him for recovering his image some? I don't get that.
No, I do think it's easy to forget just what a turd he was. And I'm kind of glad to see somebody call him out, because, hey, it's great when you rebuild your image and everything. I'm all for people doing that. But let's not pretend he's some kind of saint by any stretch.
Well, I mean, I don't know that anybody thinks that. I also don't understand why the president thinks he needs to call him to ask coronavirus, to talk coronavirus with him. I don't understand that at all. But, it doesn't bother me any. It doesn't bother me that people are forgetting about that.
Yeah, I don't know. I do think his image is, I agree with him being a fake. There's no question, because, I mean,
all these guys are fake. But, I mean, let's face it. But all these guys are phonies. I'm sure Paul LaDuca
Of course they are. It's just, you know, it's cool to be reminded sometimes. But I think, of course, he was in New York around the same time playing for another team, so I'm sure there's some bad blood there. But I thought it was interesting that he brought all that up. And I don't care about. I really don't care about the steroid guys. I've made that clear 1,000 times. But, you know, I think he does kind of come off as being, you know, I don't know. I there's something that rubs me the wrong way about the guy. And, yeah, the fact that, I don't know why the president's calling him about how to handle things other than, whoops, maybe I screwed up and, you know, he's rebuilt his image. Maybe I can rebuild mine. Maybe that's what he called for.
I mean, I don't know. It just doesn't. I don't worry about it too much. It doesn't affect me, so I don't even care if people like him or respect him. It doesn't matter to me at all.
Yeah, well, I don't really. You know,
I mean, I still
other
think
than
the guy's a dope, but I'm not. You know, I'm not the one that anybody's got to convince.
Yeah, I don't know. I just the only time I pay attention to him is when he was doing Astros games. Otherwise, I don't think much of him, but Cheryl from Beaumont says Gary Busey went to her high school in Tulsa, Nathan Hale High School. A little embarrassed by that these days.
He's a big star. What are you talking about?
Well, I mean, you know, that's a small world thing. I mean, I didn't realize he went to high school in Tulsa. Probably explained some things about him. You know, this Oklahoma is the Florida of the area.
Yeah.
So there's that. One of the things that I don't get is this fascination with Bigfoot to the point that there's TV shows and stuff, which I know sounds odd because, you know, I like alien stuff. But do you see there have been 4 recent Bigfoot sightings in North Carolina and people are freaking out?
I didn't think Bigfoot lived in North Carolina. I thought he was like a Pacific Northwest dude.
Yeah, he's basically a Washington guy.
He could have moved away to avoid coronavirus.
It's possible. It was getting bad there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, apparently Littleton, North Carolina has become a hotbed of Bigfoot sightings. Including, now, here's one. A guy reported seeing a short, 5.5 feet tall Bigfoot directly behind the Cryptozoology and Paranormal Museum.
A short Bigfoot?
Yeah, there's no such thing, right? You can't
I've
be a 5.5 foot.
Never heard of such a thing. That's ridiculous.
No, because Bigfoot
he
don't
even
have...
be Bigfoot then.
No. No, he'd be... And Bigfoot doesn't have kids.
The Littlefoot?
Right? I mean, it's one Bigfoot, right?
That's it.
But apparently somebody saw him on March 20th, and apparently he was visibly shaken by his encounter. I'm going to go with this. Littleton, North Carolina is not a Bigfoot haven. I'm going to guess it's a meth haven.
Yeah, probably.
And that's where all this is. This is where it's coming from. So, oh, man, I don't know about people. Like,
oh, yes, you do.
Well, I guess so. I mean, I'm pretty sure that anyone who's out looking for Bigfoot was probably on the beach during spring break in Florida.
That's probably, or in Cabo San Lucas.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, you're only young once, and you can make that youth be very short if you get too sick.
Yep.
So, Tyler says Gary Busey's from Baytown, probably Trey's uncle.
Hey, man, second most famous dude from Baytown, as far as I can tell.
Oh, man. Somebody says his aunt went to high school with Janis Joplin in Port Arthur. Yeah, and I know Port Arthur's near Beaumont. I'm familiar with the area. I really miss our Beaumont.
Is everybody
folks,
name
man.
Dropping the famous people they went to high school with now?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I guess former Rangers manager Jeff Bannister is mine.
That's
so
your guy.
That. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have one.
I'm sure you do.
No, I'm pretty sure I don't.
Almost everybody has. So you're the most famous person.
I'm the most famous one, certainly, from my graduating class.
Well, we've already established you're the most famous Hoffman.
Right. Well, no, we've actually established that I've worked my way into the top 10.
Well, certainly in Texas, you're the most famous Hoffman.
Well, not according to Ken.
Well, I mean, you know, I think there might be a little jealousy there. Just a little bit. But, oh, well, he's only more famous when it comes to, like, fast food.
Right. Which I don't know how that works out either.
Well, I mean, it's because you're more famous for barbecue and beer.
Oh, okay.
I think those add up that greater than fast food.
I'll take it.
All right. We are going to take a quick break. Do not go anywhere.
Football to talk on the other side of this thing.
All right. Sounds good to me. It is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. God was the cheap sunglasses.
You're listening to The Blitz, Blitz.
On ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. And before we get to your NFL, just saw a story come across that my man Joseph Duarte wrote over at the Chronicle about UH and players who will get another chance now. 49 seniors or graduate transfers were on spring rosters for baseball, softball, track and field, golf, and tennis. The men's and women's track teams account for 24 seniors, followed by baseball with 9. So 49 kids are going to get another chance over at UH.
Cool.
So just wanted to pass that on. All right, what do you got?
I was looking at a story today about the future of the quarterback position. You probably saw this story on Sportsnot.
Yeah.
The future of the NFL, top 20 quarterbacks of the 2020s. Basically looking at what, you know, obviously Drew Brees going away, Tom Brady on the way out, kind of a changing of the guard with quarterbacks. And they take a look at who they think are the best 20 guys coming up in the next 10 years. So what I wanted to look at was see if who you think is too high, too low, or who doesn't even belong on this list.
Okay.
So let's start with number 20, Sam Darnold.
I like Sam Darnold. I still think he's going to turn into a pretty good quarterback. No problem with him being there. Might even feel a little bit low.
Same to me. How about Brock Purdy from Iowa State?
Okay. I'm not as high on him, but all right.
I mean, he was unbelievable his freshman year and kind of came back down to earth. I think this year will decide a lot of what that guy's going to be. What about Daniel Jones, number 18?
It's so hard with such a small sample size, but
a lot of these guys are going to be young, certainly.
Yeah, I'd still have Darnold ahead of him. How's that?
Okay, number 17, Kyler Murray.
That might be you know what? The way he looked last year, if he stays healthy, that might be a little low.
Well, he's going to have DeAndre Hopkins now. I mean, he's got some weapons. Number 16, this is the biggest, who knows, Sam Howell from North Carolina, who was a freshman last year. Really good freshman, but obviously a long way to go.
Yeah, I like his potential, but it's hard to judge.
Number 15, Tua.
Okay, seems about right.
Number 14, and disrespect, it says the NFL's most boring quarterback, Derek Carr.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of people. I think
higher of him than most people are. Yeah, I don't know if people just aren't watching. The guy's pretty good.
You think more of him than I do, but I think he's pretty damn good. I mean, I don't know what your ceiling is with him, but I mean, if you want to compare guys, he and Carson Wentz almost were in the same boat. They had one fantastic MVP type year, got hurt at the end of the season, and have been solid ever since. So, okay.
Number 13, Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, you can have him.
I'm with you on that. I'm kind of out on him. Number 12, Josh Allen.
Seems fair, although ahead of Derek Carr? Okay.
I think maybe, with Josh Allen, people can still possibly see upside. He's obviously very physically gifted. But
yeah.
He's, he's not super accurate. Cut down on interceptions at the end of last year, so maybe there's something there. But, yeah, that's a guy who was when they drafted him, they knew he was going to be a project, and he's certainly been that.
Physically, though, I mean, he's one or two if you're just talking
about
pure.
He's up there, certainly, yeah. Well, I don't know. I mean, he's definitely behind Patrick Mahomes, but there's not many other guys that I'd say he's certainly behind physically.
Well, if you just look at, like, pure arm strength and running ability, he ain't that far off from Mahomes. He really isn't.
He's a better runner than Mahomes.
Yeah, and his arm
it's not far behind, but Mahomes is a way better quarterback at this point.
Right.
You know.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. But if you just take physical tools, you can make a pretty good case for him being the most physically talented of that
group. And he's going to have Stephon Diggs now. He's got a real weapon. So we'll see how that works for him.
Yeah.
How about number 11, Justin Fields, Ohio State?
You know, I actually had a story I want to get to at some point where there's a pro football focused guy who thinks he is a better prospect than Trevor Lawrence.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I buy it, but he makes a compelling case.
Do you like that that placement, number 11?
Feels a little high, but
it's harder to know with the college kids.
Right.
Number 10, Jared Goff.
Too high.
Okay.
I think we've seen the best of Jared Goff.
Well, and this makes a good point. It says Goff's biggest issue in his performance is his performance when he's under pressure. 2017, Rams had one of the best offensive lines, and he was great. 2019, they had a bad offensive line. He stunk. So they're saying if they get the offensive line right, maybe he gets back to being good. And obviously he's got a coach that offensively is going to do him some good things. Number nine.
But you know how hard it is to put your offensive line together when it's falling apart, too.
Oh, yes. Number nine, Dakota Prescott.
Okay. Again, there's a few guys I prefer over him. I like Derek Carr. I might like Allen long-term over him, too, but I don't think that's an unfair place to put him.
All right. This one seems a little low. Number eight, Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, I don't know what else you want to – I mean, unless you're –
I think it is a one-year sample, so let's not go crazy. But what he did is certainly the kind of thing that an injury would definitely make him much less effective. And he's a guy that maybe eventually teams will figure out a game plan to stop him. But right now, an eight seems like a tough place to put that dude.
Yeah, because how many of these guys that we're going to mention ahead of him already have an MVP or will win an MVP?
There'll
be a couple.
Yeah, wow. Number seven seems too high for me, Jimmy Garoppolo.
Oh, God, yes.
I don't see it. I mean, the Niners were good. I love Kyle Shanahan. I think the Niners were in the Super Bowl in spite of Jimmy Garoppolo.
Jimmy Garoppolo is Matt Schaub.
Yeah. He moves a little better than Matt Schaub, but
yeah, but that's about it. So
number six, Deshaun Watson.
Would not have him ahead of Lamar Jackson right now. But, you know, I think he has the talent to be an MVP at some point? Yes. But probably.
What I always say about him, he's got an anchor tied to him in his head coach. And now his best life raft just floated away. So it's going to be an uphill climb for him, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think as long as O'Brien's there, he's always going to be limited. But, you know, maybe he'll be good enough to overcome that.
Number five, Carson Wentz.
Seems about right. Although, again, I think depending on whether you think he's too high or Carr's too low, I think those guys are a lot closer to each other than maybe people want to admit.
He had a good season last year considering what was around him.
I mean,
he had no weapons and still managed a pretty decent season. Number four, and you already know I think it's too high, Joe Burrow.
Yeah, let's pump the brakes on that a little bit.
I mean, fantastic senior season. There's a lot to prove, certainly. Number three, Russell Wilson, the oldest player on the list. He'll be 41 in 2029.
Oh, boy.
He's never missed a game to injury.
No.
To
41.
Me, you know, if his 41 year is anything like Drew Brees or Tom Brady, he should maybe be number one on this list.
Yeah, I think
he's
though,
the most. He's got the most proven track record.
He does. And I think even if we're talking the first 7-8 years, he's going to be one of the top two or three quarterbacks in the league. So, yeah, that might be low.
Number
in
two.
In fact, I'm going to say it's low because I'm pretty sure who you're going to throw at me next.
Well, number two is Trevor Lawrence.
Who, yeah, I like Trevor Lawrence. I think I'd still rather have Russell Wilson.
I love Trevor Lawrence, but I think I'd rather have Russell Wilson for the next 10 years just because
I wouldn't have Trevor Lawrence any lower than three or four.
I'm the only guys I'd consider putting ahead of him are Russell Wilson and Patrick Mahomes, who's number one.
Yeah, yeah, those two guys I would say for sure.
So but. And number one, that's sort of an easy one. He's you know, he's already the best quarterback in the league. So he's got a sort of an advantage in that department. And last year you saw he didn't run as much and he was even more successful. Well, so he's just he's got a already incredible resume, an MVP, a Super Bowl win, and doesn't look like he's going to be slowing down anytime soon.
Yeah, I think in any fantasy quarterback draft, if you're redrafting the entire league and you're telling me that these are the guys you get for the next 10 years, I can't imagine anybody else going number one. So, all right, we're going to take a quick break. That was interesting. Little football for you. There's a little bit more to get to as well, including a bit of news. We shall discuss when we return. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is Heisman Trophy winner Troy Smith, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5. Go Bucks!
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. And Santos and said, damn, your bumper music today is the best in a while. Love it. And AJ responded by saying, Tyler always does a good job. I was going to say the exact same thing coming back. Tyler's on his game today, man. Good stuff. So, little news. It is official. The NFL has expanded the playoffs to 14 teams.
All right.
So, you know, I like the playoffs the way they are, but I guess, you know, and looking at last year is not really a good gauge, I suppose. I mean, I think where it would actually turn out to be kind of cool would be like if, say, you know, Lamar Jackson gets hurt for six games and, you know, the Ravens wind up barely sneaking in as the last team because he got healthy and they came back and they'd be a legitimate threat in the playoffs. But otherwise, I kind of feel like you're just adding more Texans.
Yeah.
It's basically what you're doing. And it's like, okay, do I really need to see did I really need to see the Steelers in there last year with whatever joke they were throwing out
Mason
in their quarterback.
Rudolph or whatever.
Yeah. But yeah, I think I guess it's like anything else. I may not agree with it, but I'm, you know, I'm behind it. Couple people, someone three, not arguing against Mahomes because he's the best quarterback in the league, but he does benefit from having Kelce and Tariq Hill. Russell Wilson has had a bunch of average receivers for a while until he got Metcalf.
Yeah, I mean, but listen, I'm not one to doubt what Patrick Mahomes is doing. I was a doubter from day one on him because I'd never seen someone from that college system turn into a pro and have great success, and he broke the mold. And I've eaten my crow on him, and you know, and I did the same on Russell Wilson at one point. But yeah, I'm not. There's no way that I can say anything that sounds like I'm doubting Patrick Mahomes in any way.
Yeah, I'm totally sold on him. I had the same concerns about him. Now, I never did about Russell Wilson, and part of that was because that guy had went to two different systems when he went to Wisconsin and had a ton of success. Well, he had a ton of success at NC State, then goes to Wisconsin, has a ton of success. And really the only knock on him was he was short, but he also, I mean, he had all the things that you want to see in a quarterback with escapability and everything. And, you know, accuracy, I mean, he's fantastic, don't get me wrong, but I don't think, you know, and I think, could the Chiefs win a Super Bowl with him if it was him instead of Mahomes? Absolutely. I think he's that good. And, yes, Mahomes has better weapons, but I don't, you know, to me, I think I could win with either one of them, but I don't know a single person who would take anybody but Mahomes number one right now.
Agreed.
So, 713 says, you're right, Josh Allen has all the physical attributes. He hasn't had any weapons. He's still young. He makes dumb decisions, but that'll get fixed. Now he's got Diggs, and I'm sure they'll draft another wide receiver. Kid's going to be real good. I definitely think there's an arrow next to his name, an up arrow. And yeah, he does make too many mistakes, but young quarterbacks do. If you remember, Matt Ryan early in his career would throw a key interception almost every game. Aaron Rodgers turned the ball over way too much early in his career. And, you know, if there are guys who never get rid of that and never develop, Jameis Winston, but then they're the ones that become really, really good quarterbacks. And I like his chances of that. You know, it's just, especially if they get a little more around him. 713-780-ESPN is your number. Somebody said, yeah, one more playoff team means the Texans get the noon Saturday game instead of the noon Sunday game. Isn't that, don't they always get the noon Saturday game? Hasn't that been the joke? Is their first playoff game is always the noon Saturday game?
It pisses people off for some reason.
Well, according to Pro Football Talk, if they do get that game, it might be broadcast on NBC Telemundo.
All right.
Yeah.
So, well, that's exciting, thrilling news.
Yeah.
Oh, can't.
More people to not watch it, I guess.
I've got some bad news.
Uh-oh.
Guess what just happened in Nevada, which, you know, I don't know if it's going to get here, but there's a precedent being set that's a little bit scary. In Nevada, liquor stores have now been deemed non-essential businesses.
Okay.
What would we do if that happened here? They shut down the liquor stores.
They're not going to shut down the liquor stores here. They've actually... they've loosened the liquor laws here to where you can order stuff from restaurants and things. Yeah, I don't see that happening. I really don't. Doesn't make a ton of sense to me, frankly. I mean, why would you do that?
I don't know. I don't know why Nevada did it. I guess they're trying to keep people from going out.
Well, I mean, okay. I don't understand the point of that.
I mean, they still have weed.
What about weed?
I don't know about weed. It doesn't say in this story, but obviously their goal is to keep people going out only for essential things. So if you say essential things, you're going to the grocery store, or I mean that might be it, or doctors. Then they're saying, well, liquor stores don't fall under that.
Well, not a state that I thought would do that, but shame on them. So, because that also kind of applies to my, hey man, bleep that in the next segment. So,
all right.
I don't want to go too much farther with that or else I'll steal my own thunder, but I'm against that. So, you know, I'm worried. I have enough alcohol here to last until end of June.
Yeah, I mean we're all fine, but it just seems like if that's a step, that could be where we were headed.
I don't think so. I would be surprised. But you know, nothing really surprises me. But you know, and the thing is, I mean, even if you just go to curbside pickup, that's better than just cutting it off.
I would think so too. The problem is it'd be cool if these stores would just put their whole inventory online where you can order and then you can just come by and pick it up.
Yeah. But, somebody says, is Nevada one of those states where you can buy liquor at gas stations like Louisiana or California? Then they're not essential.
I don't think so.
Actually, yeah, you can. Like in Walgreens, you can buy liquor.
Yeah, so, I guess you can.
Yeah, because usually one of the first things I do is walk down to the Walgreens and grab a bottle of vodka.
Yeah, you're right, because they've got that little, like those little stores, that store on the strip that sells liquor. But they may have to have a certain license. Could be like the certain stores that are on the strip are getting licenses. I've never been to a store off the strip that sold it.
I have, actually, now that I think about it. When I was staying there for the World Series, there was a 7-Eleven off the strip. You know, it's about a half-mile walk. And they had liquor in there. So it makes sense that liquor-only stores you wouldn't necessarily need.
All right. You know what you do need? You need to save some money in these days. And TGS is a great way to do it. If you own your home, it's a great time to look at your home insurance and see what you're paying. TGS, they got ahead of the curve a long time ago to save people money on their home insurance, and it's so simple. It takes 15 seconds, and you can complete the entire money-saving process without ever leaving your home. That's social distancing, saving money. All they need is your address. You grab your phone right now, text the word money to 232323. They'll ask for your address, reply back with that. You'll get a full quote and a proposal with excellent coverage within 15 seconds. This company, these savings are real. They've got a nearly perfect online rating, over 800 reviews, and the average customer saved nearly $900 a year. I saved even more than that. It is legit. There's no need to wait till your renewal because TGS will save you money and help you get you refunded on your previous policy right away. They'll take care of all that hassle, all that paperwork. They're open right now. Text the word money to 232323 and start saving today with TGS Insurance.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. And A.J., could you tell me where you found that story? Because I've searched everywhere and have nothing to confirm that.
The liquor store story?
Yeah.
Is on Twitter.
Oh, okay. Before the people start to panic.
I've got no indication that it's coming to Texas, by the way. That was just me asking if that was a possibility.
Yeah, but I also have not confirmed that it's actually happened in Nevada. So,
oh, I have two of my buddies from gambling Twitter, including one who's Todd Furman, who's verified.
Well, that's the only thing I saw was Furman's tweet about it. So,
okay.
But that's I want to be careful with that because people are trying to spread that rumor about here, and that that's one of the fake news stories that's going around. So it ain't going to happen. And
it does
so
say
far, I think the only state that it's happened in is Pennsylvania, and that's because liquor stores are government run.
Well, it also says that, like you said, supermarkets, CVS, Walgreens in Nevada, you'll still be able to buy liquor. It's the liquor-only stores.
Yeah.
So stores that their only business is to serve, is to sell liquor, those stores are going to close.
Yeah. And, you know, that I can see if you don't sell anything else, that kind of makes sense. But, yeah. All right. This leads us to Hey Man Bleep That, where the World Health Organization, what the hell do they know? Have weighed in on how we should deal with cabin fever. And they think alcohol is, quote, an unhelpful coping strategy for dealing with being locked down. Dr. Alicia Mayak is a technical officer at their mental health substance abuse department, said that many turn to alcohol in times of crisis. But she says it's important that the government, alcohol producers and retailers keep reminding us that it's best to stick to 14 units a week or less. With routines out of the window, we might find ourselves reaching for a drink more often. Duh! What the hell else are we going to do, lady? And 14 units a week or less? Come on. To that I say,
hey, man, f*** that.
Are you familiar with Michael Hill?
Don't think so.
Michael Hill is the president of the League of the South, which is a neo-Confederate group. They've got their...
Wait, what's a neo-Confederate group?
I mean, I think it's like... they're basically Nazis, or American Nazis.
Okay, just checking.
They have their big conference, an annual conference every year, and as of right now, they're not going to let the global pandemic get in the way of that. They're not canceling that conference. 68-year-old Michael Hill says that at present we are doing more than simply monitoring the situation. We're actively making plans and raising funds to help our members who are in financial straits and moving forward with plans for the upcoming events, including our conference in late June. So the average age of the league's state chairman and national staff is roughly 57 years old. So on the bright side, we could have some Nazis dying off here. The prominent speakers at last year's event, James Edwards, Kevin McDonald, David Duke, and Rick Tyler. So there could be a lot of big-time white power folks getting wiped off by this damn coronavirus. So... maybe that's a good thing, but these guys are idiots for saying we're still having our Nazi rally. So to that I say,
hey man, that.
I think we root for that to happen. I don't know.
That's true. It would be nice.
Got one, Tyler?
I don't. I did not come prepared today.
Oh,
but
come on.
I mean, we'll just say to the coronavirus, hey man, F that.
Did you hear about this guy who hid his coronavirus symptoms so he could visit his wife in the hospital? And to be exact, on where she was in the hospital, the maternity ward. And now she's come down with flu-like symptoms. So this is a rare potential for a trifecta. The guy might kill himself, his wife, and his kid if this ends up going poorly.
Golly. You know, people are – we wouldn't be here if people were just be smart, man. Just come on.
That's never going to happen, Fred. You know that.
And granted, I was out too. I took a little bike ride yesterday, but there had to have been at least 1,000 people walking the Heights bike trail. Like, it was insane.
Yeah, and that's not a wide. It's like the one I have by me. It's not very wide.
Yeah.
Which is why, and I knew that would be really crowded because it is every weekend. So I kind of stayed away from there. But, you know, but there's people walking in groups of like 3 or 4. And it's like, do you really need to do that? I mean, and then walk side by side so that the people on the other side have to be near you. I mean, it's kind of common sense, isn't it? Or not? Did I lose you guys?
Oh, no, okay. You're still here. I'm not sure where AJ went.
Hello, hello.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, we're there.
There you are.
Oh. Sorry, guys. I think I got... Of course, I get dropped with like 30 seconds left in the whole damn show.
We had a good run.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's pretty good. We had a little blip at the beginning because I sounded like garbage, and then we have a little blip at the end. But otherwise, we made it through the day, guys.
Another good one, Fred. Well, I'll see you tomorrow for What Are the Odds Wednesday. And remember, guys... Soccer Matters next, and listen to that Mark Cuban thing after that. 9 o'clock tonight on ESPN 97.5, we'll have that show.
Yeah, and if you want to get in on the free poker tonight, just go to sportsmap.com for all the details, and we'll be on here in about an hour. So, till tomorrow, stay sportsy, bitches.
ESPN 97.5.